The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope that you're having a wonderful Friday. I was awakened this morning and I was doing my research as I normally do on early in the morning and looking for things going on in our nation, in our world that would be of interest to you, our listeners. And I came across the issue, the big dust up with Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart is the quarterback of the New York Giants, and he had the audacity to be at a rally, a Republican rally for Mike Lawler, and Donald Trump was there. And he introduced Donald J. Trump, and the left is up in arms. This is all Jackson Dart said. Now, he's a young guy. He's in his early 20s, graduate of Ole Miss, and had his first year with the New York Giants, had a good season, and they're looking forward to big things from Jackson Dart. Well, he was at the rally, and this is what he said about Donald J. Trump.
I'm grateful, I'm honored, I'm pleasured to introduce the 45th and 47th President of the United States of America, President Donald J. Trump. And I'm proud to be an American,
where at least I know I'm free. And I'm all right, and then Donald J. Trump comes on the stage and he says some nice things about Jackson Dart, and people get upset about that. He had to address his teammates. The New York Giants said, hey, this is a problem. Your teammates have a problem. I saw Emmanuel Acho, who's a UT football player and an analyst for ESPN. He made this statement that, well, Jackson Dart can do whatever he wants, and his teammates can tweet out. One of his teammates tweeted out, I can't believe this. And, you know, you're supporting Donald J. Trump. You must not understand that he is a bigot and a racist, and he didn't say all that, but I mean, that's implied, and that was on The View. They talked about it on The View, and it was talked about by Scott Jennings. Now, here's where I'm coming from. You know, in our country, with the media elite, with talk show hosts, and anybody in Hollywood, I mean, if you're not in the tank for the DNC, well, then you're a terrible person. You're a racist, a bigot, a homophobe, a xenophobe, an Islamophobe. You know, it's just all those things. You're demonized if you have an opinion different from the liberal opinion. And as was pointed out, you know, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Steve Kerr, they all are very outspoken about their support of Kamala Harris of the Democratic National Convention. Nobody says boo. They're not commanded to talk to the team about their position. And so Scott Jennings just pointed out the hypocrisy of the whole situation. You know, Jesus, we've talked about this before, the hypocrisy. Jesus nailed the religious leaders for being such hypocrites. He said this, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin. You tithe your spices out of the garden, and you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Well, that was scathing. Hebrew humor, according to Elton Trueblood, is humor by exaggeration. So when Jesus said that, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, that would have been a humorous, although stinging, it's stinging and funny. Who would do that? It's humor by exaggeration. Nobody would strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, in the physical, but that's what they were doing. And this is what conservative Scott Jennings of CNN had to say about it.
Another topic that's got everyone in politics talking, and that is Jackson Dart. He is the quarterback of the New York Giants. And on Friday, May the 22nd, Dart went to a rally, an event with President Trump. Trump then praised Dart, calling him a future Hall of Famer and a beautiful guy. He really complimented Dart. Well, you can imagine what happened next. Dart had a teammate named Abdul Carter who criticized him for doing this on social media. He has since deleted his social media criticism of Dart. But then all the usual suspects began to criticize poor Jackson Dart. Let's start with Joy Behar, cut number two.
For somebody to back a guy like Trump, whose history in discrimination and racism goes back to housing discrimination.
In the 70s. Yes.
In the 70s, DEI attacks, and posting pictures of the Obamas as apes. When he's on a team that's 55% to 60%, the NFL, mm-hmm. is that many people, that much percentage of black people.
Yeah, huh?
That is just the definition of stupidity and racist.
You know what's incredible about sports is that it is almost entirely populated by and taken over by leftists. A lot of sports fans in America are conservatives. You go to an NFL stadium and Donald Trump walks out there, you're going to get a lot of cheers. But the sports industry itself, inhabited by a lot of leftists, people like Steve Kerr, NBA coach Steve Kerr.
In the words of the great Steph Curry, we can tell Donald Trump, night, night.
So that was Scott Jennings talking about the double standard. You know, you've heard the expression, if it weren't for double standards, you'd have no standards at all. And so there are a lot of people in America, obviously, Donald Trump won the popular vote in the last election, beat Kamala Harris. The majority of people in America voted for him. And do we agree with everything he does? No. But when you're faced with the proposition of we can have a Donald J. Trump America or a Kamala Harris America, the majority said, I would rather have a Donald J. Trump America than a Kamala Harris America. And you have a guy who is doing good, in my opinion. You may have a different opinion. I think he's doing a good job for our country. And if you think of America as a team and he's the head coach, he's leading the team in a good direction. People will say, well, there's inflation, there's this, there's that, there's the other. Yeah, there is that. And, you know, no leader is going to have a perfect record with no bumps on the way. People point to the war with Iran. Oh, it's reckless. It's a quagmire. It's blah, blah, blah. I like what Pete Hegseth said. You know, we've been at this for just a couple of months. How dare you call it a quagmire? And it had to happen. You can't let Iran have a nuclear weapon. Now, what you do with Iran, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I said, sitting down at the negotiating table with Iran is like playing poker with the guy that continually cheats. And so it's very, very difficult to have any kind of a meaningful agreement with them, because they're liars, they're cheats, they want to destroy you. That's their end game. And we know, based on scripture, Iran is not going away. Iran is talked about, ancient Persia, talked about in end times scripture verses. So we know that they're not going away. We also know that America is not talked about in end times verses. Some people are really, they work so hard to try and say, oh, that, I think this verse has something to do with America. You don't have to do that. You don't have to search high and low to find Persia in Old Testament or in end times scripture verses. It's very clear. It's right there. And so America, you're going to have to move heaven and earth to show that America is there. Now, my personal opinion is when the rapture of the church comes, America is gutted. You don't have any voice that is standing firm for conservative values and things like that. That just goes out the window. I mean, not all conservatives are Christians, obviously, but the majority, the big bulk of them are. And when you take all that salt out, all that light out, America, the light goes out. And the restrainer is removed, as the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And America is just going to be absorbed, I think, into the European Union. And that's going to be the end of the American experiment. But the issue that you can't support Donald J. Trump because we know, as Joy Behar says, we know that he's been a racist since the 70s. He's just a terrible person. I mean, he's Hitler, he's a Nazi, he's a fascist, he's the Antichrist, as some have said. And so, obviously, if you would introduce him, what does that say about you? You're a terrible, horrible person. And that is where we are today. Now, I like what Mark Robinson, the former lieutenant governor of North Carolina, he's a black man, what he had to say about this situation.
So a football player speaks up in support of a political figure. That's no problem, right? Not if it's Kamala Harris. Not if it's Hillary Clinton. Not if it's Joe Biden. And certainly not if it's the leftist god Barack Obama. But if it's President Trump.
What an honor, what a privilege it is to be here. And without further ado, I'm grateful, I'm honored, I'm pleasured to introduce the 45th and 47th President of the United States of America, President Donald J. Trump.
Now we have a problem. That was New York Giants star quarterback Jackson Dart introducing President Trump at his rally this past Friday in Suffern, New York. And of course, it drew immediate backlash, first and foremost, from his own teammate, running back Abdul Carter, in a very negative social media post. You know, the left is absolutely ridiculous and super hypocritical. When a Philadelphia Eagles team member headed up Athletes for Harris, no ruckus was raised by his team members, even by those who I'm sure weren't supporting Kamala Harris. When LeBron James was demonizing police publicly, his teammates who disagreed with him didn't come after him either. But this kid automatically gets pushback from his teammates for his political views. And trust me, it will not stop there. His open support, or apparent open support, for the sworn enemy of the leftists will no doubt put him in the crosshairs of the tolerance and inclusion crowd that loves everyone who agrees with them and no one else. It's a perfect example of their ideology, their entire ideology. Believe as I believe, or be silent. And if you do speak, we will destroy you. Well, I say kudos to this young man for taking a stand, a very difficult stand for who he is and where he is, for the very thing that all of us value most, and that's freedom.
Well, that was well spoken, Mark Robinson, the former lieutenant governor of North Carolina. Yeah, it's if you don't go along with us, we will destroy you. We will come after you. We will cancel you. And I think it was Paul Washer that said this, you know, what's going to happen to Christians in America, Christians in the world? Well, people are going to come after the Christians because the Christians stand out. We're supposed to stand out. That's our job, to be salt and to be light, to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And we call men, women, boys, and girls to repentance. We tell them there is no other way to be saved other than Jesus Christ, and there is salvation in no one else, Acts 4:12, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. And when we stand out from the crowd, from the world, The world doesn't like it. Men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be welcoming my good friend Bishop E.W. Jackson to the program as we talk about the hypocrisy of the left and how it doesn't make sense, and we need to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are hooking up Bishop E.W. Jackson to the program and getting him on here to get his perspective on the hypocrisy from the left. You know, it's okay if you get in line with them, they will support you, you are wonderful. But if you have a different opinion, well, then you're blackballed. You're a terrible person. And, you know, I think that it is ridiculous to support the policies of the left. You know, when you think about it in terms of just strict policy, not person, but what are you voting for? What does this person stand for? And whether it's person X, Y, or Z, if you're a candidate on the left, well, you're going to be pro-LGBTQIA+, because you can't be a candidate on the left unless you're going to stand up for those things. You're going to be pro-abortion. You're going to be pro-immigration, soft on crime. That's just exactly what we see from the left. You're not going to want, as James Tallarico, the candidate for the Senate in Texas, has said, you know, the border between Texas and Mexico doesn't need to have a wall. It needs to be a big front door welcome to our state and to our country kind of situation, where we just welcome all these people in. Well, I think that is ridiculous. And that's what Joe Biden did, and we're paying the price for that. You can't just let all these people in. I guarantee you James Tallarico doesn't do that in his own home, where he just has an open door policy. Yeah, I don't lock my doors at night. You just come on in and take all my stuff and eat all my food and live here. He's not doing that. He's locking his doors at night. Who knows? Maybe he lives behind a gated community, as so many on the left, the elites, will tell you it's wrong to have border walls, yet they live behind a gated community. Barack Obama sure does. And so the hypocrisy is just off the chain. And that is what's going on with Jackson Dart. Hey, you don't like Donald J. Trump? That's your business. But it's okay for somebody else to like him. You voted for Kamala Harris? That's your business. But, you know, you need to be able to defend those positions. I mean, I think those positions are, they're obviously against what the Bible says. They're against the American way of life. But that's your prerogative. You can be a socialist. You can be a Muslim. Those things are wrong. But, you know, as Adrian Rogers used to say, this is America. You have a right to be wrong. And that's what makes our country great. But now, when you just kind of fall in line with whatever the culture says, whatever the media says, whatever the elites say, you're not thinking for yourself, and you're not going to like the result, because, you know, the masses are always wrong. Just ask the people of Noah's day. Hey, everybody said, minus the eight people, Noah, Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives, everybody said this idea that a flood was coming was ridiculous. But guess what? One day it started to rain. The flood did come, and everyone was wiped away, save those eight people. Well, what do you have to say about the hypocrisy that we see from the left? They strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And we need to be consistent in our own lives. You know, we turn the spotlight back to us. Are we willing to stand up and be counted? Are we willing to take the shots and for standing up, for being salt, for being light? I refer to this scripture often, John chapter 7, where Jesus said to his brothers, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." And as Jesus said in John 15, hey, if the world is going to hate you, know this, if the world hated me, it's going to hate you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. A slave is not greater than his master, Jesus said. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. Well, I can see Bishop E.W. Jackson. I don't know if he can hear me. Bishop, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, Jeff. Can you hear me?
All right. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
great.
Sir. All right. So, Bishop, I wanted to get your perspective. I appreciate you coming on the program today. You're obviously one of my favorite people, one of my favorite guests. And so the Jackson Dart situation, the quarterback of the New York Giants, he had the audacity last week to introduce Donald J. Trump. Should he be cut from the team for this egregious act?
You know, Pastor Jeff, this is one of the reasons I am so disgusted with the NFL, because they put up with Colin Kaepernick denigrating the flag, insulting Americans, telling us he wouldn't celebrate July 4th. Why would I celebrate a country that mistreats, quote unquote, my people, whatever that means? And yet they put up with all of that and supported it and said, we're going to start giving money to groups and basically carved out a budget for all these leftist organizations that they were going to support, including Black Lives Matter, if I'm not mistaken. And yet, I used to say, if I were in a room and President Barack Obama walked in the room and I have no agreement with him about almost anything I can think of, except maybe fatherhood, and I am sure about that, given some of the things he said about abortion, but I would still treat him with respect. Mm-hmm. I would still shake his hand. I would still call him Mr. President. If I was asked, well, would you mind introducing him in a given situation? I would introduce him as the President of the United States. I mean, since when did showing respect for people in office become a punishable offense? But mm-hmm. obviously, because the left, you're right, they have absolutely no respect for the First Amendment, no respect for the American people, no respect for our institutions, unless they're in control.
Yes. Okay, so Bishop, you've been around a while in the political scene. When do you think it changed in America? It used to be we'd have the election, and then whoever was voted in as president, the country got behind that person. When do you think that changed?
Well, you know, I think it really began with the Vietnam War. That's when it kind of started. And I'll tell you, I'll name somebody who, according to my memory, at least, because I took note of it, the first person to denigrate the president and denigrate the country while traveling overseas was former Senator John Kerry. Mm. And, you know, because we used to have a rule. Politics stops at the water's edge. You know, mm-hmm. we can criticize each other. We can criticize our country here at home all we want. That's among us as family. But when you go abroad, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. But John Kerry, to me, and of course, he denounced us for the Vietnam War, too. But he was the first politician to go abroad and tell the world how bad we were. And then, of course, Barack Obama did a whole apology tour mm-hmm. in which he told the world how bad we are. So basically, that's what I trace it back to. That was kind of the cultural shift. But then you had politicians pick up on it and start making it legitimate to denounce your country, denounce its institutions under all any and all circumstances to anybody, by the way, including giving aid and comfort to our enemies like communist China.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, Bishop, because we just had the election in Virginia, and it was Winsome Sears, a black lady, going up against Abigail Spanberger, a white lady. And we have the left talking all about, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. We need to, you know, have more women in power, have more black. And as far as the Marxist ideology goes, well, Winsome Sears has more victimhood in her background being a black woman than Abigail Spanberger would have as far as minority status, that kind of thing. But yet the left is not going to vote for Winsome Sears.
No, and she's an immigrant. I mean, so, you know, look, she is really the trifecta. She's a woman, she's black, and she's an immigrant. She's not an illegal immigrant, of course, but you would think they would say, well, wow, a person like this really deserves our respect and support.
Yes.
But look, and you know this, Pastor Jeff, I don't have to tell you this, and your audience, they've heard you and heard me, they know. These people don't care about human beings. They care about power.
Yes.
And they don't care about black people, white people, Hispanic people. They don't care about any people. They care about power. If you are helping them to get it and keep it, then you get their favor. In fact, you can even raid the treasury and they'll protect you. But if you're not, look out, because then they'll try to manufacture something against you to destroy you. So it's all about power. That's their idol. That's their God. And they'll do anything for that God and do anything to get and keep that power.
Yeah, it is really sad. And, you know, Americans, one of the things I appreciate about you, Bishop, is you sound the alarm and you let people know, hey, America is under attack. You know, I did a whole program. We're going to air it next Friday. But with Daryl Harrison, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he was talking about the political Islam. And the fact that, you know, the left pushing all these Islamic candidates, and as we have that phrase, politics makes strange bedfellows, but the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yes.
Because, let's face it, Islam has no regard for socialists or anything that the Democrats would be for. They'd be against, but they're not going to align themselves with Republicans. They will align themselves and they'll ride the back of the Democrats and get all their votes.
You know, it really is kind of an ironic thing to see these two ideologies coming together. And I believe they have three things in common. They have a common hatred of America. Mm-hmm. They have a common hatred of our Judeo-Christian value system and our Constitution, which gives individual liberty, which they don't like. And they have a common hatred of Israel. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But, you know, the ironic thing is, if Islam and Islamists were to take over with the worldwide caliphate that they envision in their own perverse imaginations, these leftists would be the first to go.
Yes.
They would be the first to be thrown off a roof, because these Muslims are not, they are not people of tolerance of those who disagree. So it really is laughable to see them consorting. But, you know, the same thing had, you know, there were many, many Muslims who consorted with Adolf Hitler because they had a common hatred of Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a suicide pact, frankly, because if God forbid that it would ever happen. But if it ever happened that Muslims took over, and by the way, I don't think Muslims would fare much better under communism, since communism's basic premise is there is no God.
Mm-hmm. How do you see that? I've always been curious about this, Bishop. So when you put those two together, when you put the atheist communists together with the Muslims, I mean, because they'll turn on each other, obviously, who wins in that battle?
Yeah, the red-green axis. I think, frankly, that the Islamists win in a battle like that. And I think it is because they are unabashedly committed to violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the socialists try to pretend otherwise. They try to pretend that we're not violent. We're not supporting violence. We know that communism always comes into power through violence, through the point of a gun. But they try to feign otherwise. Islamists don't even try to feign it. They don't even try to fake it. They will kill you, and they don't mind letting you know that. I mean, here the mullah of Iran is still chanting death to America and death to Israel, even though at this point his country is on the verge of being annihilated.
Yes.
So I think in a confrontation, I think the communists would be hard pressed to defeat them.
Okay, so if you were called in to give some counsel to President Trump regarding the military situation in Iran, how do you bring that to a close? What would be your counsel to him?
You know, it is not something I relish, Pastor Jeff, but I'll tell you something. I think he is going to have to so annihilate that regime and kill so many of them and destroy so much of the infrastructure that they are forced to their knees, because I don't think they're ever going to negotiate a settlement. I just don't believe it, because I don't think they – look, they've said, you Americans love life. We love death. Mm-hmm. And I think and their whole ideology, you know, the coming of the 12th Mahdi, that, you know, who comes on the wings of cataclysm and mm-hmm. maybe nuclear war. I think they think that if they can precipitate some kind of major confrontation, it accelerates the coming of the Mahdi, who is going to establish a worldwide caliphate. I don't think President Trump is going to be able to negotiate any kind of deal with them. I think he's going to ultimately have to destroy them.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, so if you look into the future, we know that the Antichrist is coming. The Bible talks about this one world leader. Do you see that guy as being a Muslim? For the longest time, I thought he would be a Jew, but now I'm not so sure.
Yeah, you know, there have been several theories about where he would come from. But look, now that we're seeing this amalgamation in, say, people like Zohran Mamdani of both far-left communist Marxist ideology coupled with cataclysmic Islamist thinking, I don't think that that's out of the question. And the Roman Empire, Europe, we now have Muslims mm-hmm. getting into power in Europe. So I don't think that that's out of the question.
Yeah. Good point. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. When we come back from the break, we'll open the phone lines at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. We've been talking about the hypocrisy that we see in full force on the left and what Jesus had to say about that. Hey, stand up and be counted. If you believe what you believe, stand up and be counted. And Christians need to shine and share. We'll be right back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm talking to my good friend, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop Jackson is a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained lawyer, author, pastor, speaker, and the president and founder of Stand, Staying True to America's National Destiny. Bishop, you were just at the funeral service for James Robison, evangelist James Robison. Tell us about that. That was yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you, Jeff, it was a wonderful event. And you knew James Robison. I knew him. He was a friend and a supporter and really gave me some wonderful counsel and advice over the years. And there were people, probably close to 5,000 people were mm-hmm. there at the event. And And I think that frankly they had to restrict the number of people, because I think if they hadn't, it would have just overwhelmed the whole facility. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty big church, but I think it would have overwhelmed it. And of course, everybody got up and gave their tributes. And, you know, I'd say the one thing about him that I think stands out most, and people reiterated this over and over again, he was able to bring people together across denominational lines, across racial lines for that matter. But, you know, he never let our doctrinal differences get in the way. Mm-hmm. And it was just a wonderful quality that he had. I saw tributes from people who I know probably don't see eye to eye about anything except that Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But there they all were together paying tribute to this man. I think, you know, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, not by your doctrinal accuracy, but by your love for one another." And yeah, I think he really exhibited that.
Yeah, he did. And he was a great evangelist. He was very gifted to share the gospel and to bring people to Christ. And so I know he had struggles and battles and things like that in his past. But he had the sweetest wife. Betty is such a great wife to him, and mom and grandmother and great-grandmother. She had talked about that. I did see her remarks at the funeral yesterday, which is a big deal for her. She's not an upfront, you know, let me have the microphone kind of person. And I know that was hard for her.
I think we all chuckled when she said that, you know, she had never a dull moment with James. She said when he said to her, "Now, Betty, you're going to be on television with me." she said, oh no, I'm not. But she did a great job, and they were a great partnership on television. The chemistry really worked. Their love for one another came out, and that to me was really the quality that made that program truly successful. So yeah, it was quite a tribute, and I was honored to be there to be among the people who were remembering him. But you know, the wonderful thing, we're going to see each other again, aren't we?
Amen. Amen for that. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment, love to hear from you. And we have Sammy on the line from Arkansas. Sammy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Bishop.
Thank you, Sammy.
Before we started bombing Iran, President Trump told the dissidents over there that help was on the way. Why not let the special forces and different ones arm the freedom fighters over there to at least have something to fight back with, and also let the Kurds participate so that they could carve out a homeland?
All right. Good question. What do you say to that, Bishop?
Well, you know, I wrestle and struggle between things like what you just said, Sammy, and trusting President Trump's judgment, his negotiating skill, and the information that he has available to him that, of course, we don't. But look, you're right. I think I'm a big supporter of President Trump. I think he's been one of the best presidents perhaps this country will have ever had when all is said and done. But there are times, and I wonder, I don't think his negotiating with Iran is going to get us anywhere, and I don't quite understand it, but I do trust him as a negotiator, so I try to kind of give him some space to do that. But you're right. I think if there's an element in there in Iran that really wants to throw these mullahs off, we ought to support them and help them mm-hmm. in any way we can.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, you know, the people there in Iran are cheering President Trump. They mm-hmm. appreciate the help. Their lives are miserable there. And really, you know, it's kind of like with communism, Bishop. The proof is in the pudding. You just look at it. History doesn't lie. You know, look back and see. Everywhere you have that, it's misery for the masses. And this idea that now it's going to be, we're going to have democratic socialism. Now it will be different. It's the same old song and dance.
And, you know, when these people criticize the president on Iran and act like they have no memory of the fact that Iran exported terrorism all over the world, They plotted against our public officials. They've killed, we don't know how many of our people they murdered in Iraq, how many of our troops they murdered in Iraq. They have been a force of evil and death. And for people to be siding with them over President Trump, to me, is traitorous. I mean, it borders on the treasonous. And that's another reason. I don't want to jump on those who are already dumping on him. He's got enough of that. I'm just hoping that this thing will ultimately come out the way it ought to, and we get gas prices down, and we win these elections coming up in November so that he can continue his agenda.
Amen to that. Well, Sammy, thank you for that. That's a good question. Speaking of the midterms in November, how do you see those going as of right now?
Well, I'll tell you, the Christian in me says, oh God, give us grace to do what history shows almost never happens, which is for the incumbent president to win the House and Senate races. That is a rarity. I think it's only happened maybe once or twice in all of our history. But I believe if anybody can do it, President Donald Trump can. But I'll tell you this, I'm concerned about people's pocketbooks. And boy, these gas prices are really high right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick with this president no matter what. I'm not going to let economics cause me to lose confidence in him. But I, you know, Pastor Jeff, there are a lot of people who may not be that have that much fortitude, you know, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. So I think if he can get those gas prices down and get this Iran war situation resolved, I really believe he will make history and end up winning both the House and the Senate for Republicans come November.
That would be great. Yeah, Americans have a terrible problem with just being so short-sighted. They don't see, you know, can't see the forest for the trees type of deal, and can make snap decisions. Well, okay, I was going to ask you this. Are you hearing of buyer's remorse as it relates to Virginia and your governor?
I think buyer's remorse is probably the understatement of the century because these people have just gone crazy. I mean, they really have. They've just gone crazy. Why do you need to raise taxes when you come into office with a $2.6 billion surplus?
Yeah.
And they I think they've got over 50 taxes they're proposing. Why do you want to put 350 marijuana stores in Virginia?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just think about this stuff, and it's just pure evil. And why do you want to restrict law-abiding citizens when you don't lock up the people who actually commit crimes with guns that they don't even have legally? But no, they've got to restrict the law-abiding citizens, because somehow that's going to make the world a safer place. They don't realize criminals don't care other than to cheer when they see law-abiding citizens being restricted. I'm going to be holding some summits across this Commonwealth over the next year and pulling leaders together to say, look, this cannot stand. Let's take the Commonwealth of Virginia back for God and for our founding fathers, many of whom came, of course, from Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I said, but George Washington must be looking over the balcony of heaven saying, what in the world are they doing to my beloved Virginia? We're going to take it back, President Washington. We're going to take Virginia back for you.
Well, you know, to me, Bishop, it's every politician, when they get in office, if they really want to do good for the people, go after the waste, fraud, and abuse above and first and foremost. You can save so much money, and money saved is money earned type of attitude, but they don't want to do that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've affectionately come to call them Democrats. They certainly, but President Trump's come up with another Democrats. But look, Pastor Jeff, I really believe this. I believe that they want their constituents to be able to steal from the Treasury, because they know that whatever money they steal is only going to help their movement. That's why they turn a blind eye. That's why they look away. That's part of the deal with the devil in order to get and keep power. Yeah, we'll give you everything we can, but feel free to steal anything you can as long as you stay in our camp.
Yeah. Very, very insightful there. Well, thank you, Sammy, for that call. We have Tom on the line from Georgia. Tom, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, I really appreciate your program and what E.W. Jackson just said. And I think he more or less reflected the attitude and the information that I wanted to express. I'm 50, I'm 86 years old, or 85, be 86 pretty soon. And I watched the soldiers come back from the the Second World War. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds. And when I was in a scout troop, our leaders were veterans. And they didn't say anything about, you know, the war. Mm-hmm. But I had some friends that were in the battles in the Philippines and in the Battle of the Bulge, and they talked a little bit about it. But the thing that I don't understand is, where did all the common sense go? The expression or the words that EW just gave us express a lot about the problems that we have in our country, but nobody's looking at any of the answers. This country's got to work together. If we were to be in a situation like we were in the Second World War, you know, we'd be hard pressed to be unified the way things are going now.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. EW.
Well, I think it's worse than that. I think there are people who would gladly side with the enemy. I really do, because I think that they hate our country so much. In fact, I'm trying to remember who it was. It'll come to me. But one leftist said that in a confrontation with China, it might be good if we lost, because, you know, we would end up having a much, much better system as a result. I mean, this is the kind of crazy thinking that people have. You mentioned the NFL earlier. Remember that the NBA they were all in bed with communist China, and while criticizing America, defending communist China. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's right, and that's why we've got to come back to Judeo-Christian values that unite us, and really just seek to persuade our young people and any citizen who is open to persuasion that's what causes our country to be cohesive. It's not skin color. It's not money. It's a set of values that we all believe and adhere to: individual liberty, personal responsibility, love of country, taking care of one's own family, and not asking others to do what you can do for yourself. I mean, but faith in God. I mean, these are the things that made America the greatest nation on earth. And these are the things we've got to come back to with those who are willing to unify around those values.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. And God bless you. And happy birthday as it's coming up, number 86. That's pretty cool.
Amen.
We have time for one more call. We have Chris on the line from Texas. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on two things. One, when you mentioned that what would happen between if the Islam people get together with the gay rights people, there's an example up in Michigan where they voted in all the Muslims and then they banned Gay Rights Day, the Pride Day. They keep banning that. And they're all like, wait a minute, what happened? And secondly, I mean, the gentleman who mentioned, well, why doesn't Iran, you know, there is a group called the National Council of Resistance, and there's a retired Colonel Wes Martin who says that they're in waiting, trying to take over Iran. So if they want to get together, you know, he can get Trump together with this group, and this retired Colonel West knows how to connected with them to stop this war and get that resistance involved and let them take over. Give, you know, tell them, hey, okay, it's time. And there's a Prince Reza Pahlavi who is ready in the waiting to be their Trump. He wants to take over Iran and make it a great country. His father was the one who Carter took over.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, Chris, and thank you for listening to the program. Thank you for those comments. Bishop, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure, my honor. Great to be with you, Jeff.
Thank you so much. Well, we've talked about a lot of things. Listen, the Lord hates hypocrisy. He desires truth in the innermost being. And as we walk in the light as Christians and deal with sin in our own lives so that our public life, our private life, and our secret life are all together in the light with Jesus, He can use us to the full. As the proverb says, take away the dross from the silver, and there comes out a vessel for the smith. So go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.